You're listening to Our Faith, Our Country, the podcast that discusses walking with Christ and ties faith to America's foundation. Here's your host, Jason Bryant Jennings.
Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The connection here is very simple, actually. Our founding fathers regularly spoke and wrote about freedom and the risk of losing it if we don't stand up. As a Christian, Gloria Giorno has fought to keep alive the principles for which our nation was founded. Her new book, Outcast: How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative, aims to give parents and guardians the strength to stand up and protect our nation's youth. And she joins me now. Gloria Giorno, welcome to Our Faith, Our Country.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thanks for having me on. It's great to meet you and to be able to connect with your listeners.
I want to go back to my opening. To you, what is the difference between freedom and independence?
I can tell you the difference between freedom and independence from, I will just give you an example. I lived in a communist country. I went to school in communist Yugoslavia, and I attended first grade there. And I can tell you that people there thought they were free because they were able to go to work. They were able to go home. They were able to go to the grocery store. They did not know what true freedom was. They did not have independence. They could not speak out. They could not talk about why that police officer was on the corner every day on my way to school. He was not there to protect me in case I got lost or in case somebody tried to kidnap me as a six-year-old. He was there to make sure that nobody spoke out against Josip Tito and the communist regime. So while many of my family members still live in what is now former Yugoslavia, is now Croatia, they still feel that they have their freedom and they do feel independence, but I can tell you they're not. The only country that offers freedom and independence is America. And this is why we fight. This is why we have to give it all we've got. This is why I started my nonprofit. This is why I wrote the book. America is the only country left that guarantees freedom and independence, but we cannot take it for granted. We have to fight for it, and that is what we all need to do together.
Before we get into your book, you mentioned your nonprofit, United Women Foundation. Fill my listeners in on how they can get more information about UWF and also some of the great things that you've been able to do.
Our website is unitedwomenfoundation.com. Originally, I started this about 20 months ago during, it was still COVID basically. I wanted to connect young women to women older as myself and to have older women mentor young women because I saw what was going on in 2020. I know how bad the radical left had gotten and how threatening they were firsthand. I know how threatening they were to children at school, all levels. My experience is with having a college student go through it. But I also found that the left targeted young women and continues to more so than young men. Young women truly appreciate social media much more so than young men from what I observed. So I wanted to be the one to target young conservative women who are having issues at their respective schools. So they came to me with their stories, and some of them are unbelievable. So I did not want them to fall prey to the left. So I decided to create this group of older women who are there for the younger women. And what we do is we meet once a month on Zoom, and we do once a month in a non-election year, twice a month in an election year. However, we are not politically involved at all. However, we do feel that there are more questions for conservatives during those times. And we do Zoom call because we are nationwide. Our greatest assets are the Alicia Lundquist Scholarship, named after a conservative patriot in Tennessee who passed away, a dear friend of mine. And we give out scholarship money to girls who are conservatives. And that scholarship is not based on income, and it is not based on grades. It is based on what are you doing right now to be a conservative, and what will you continue to do? And I'll give you an example of a couple of our recipients. One is a college school athlete, and she's a golfer. And she is amazing in that respect, but her major, physical therapy, only to work with veterans. is exceptional. You don't find that anywhere. A true patriot. I mean, she really embodies what Alicia Lundquist stood for. So she was actually our first recipient, and we're still very proud of her. She's getting her master's now, and she's still with United Women. And our second is a pro-life activist who speaks all over the country, and she's with a foundation in D.C. now for her internship over the summer, and she will go on to do amazing things in this country with the pro-life movement. So we do find young women who are Christian, who share our conservative beliefs, and women who we truly believe that will influence more friends, more women, and will bring more young women to our group, because that's what we're looking for. We're always growing. We're always looking for new members. Membership is always free. And we're always looking to grow our donor list, as all 501c3s. We rely heavily on our donors. We do try to bring together a great space for Christian conservative women to meet.
After you're done listening to the episode, make sure you go check out the show description. There's a link to United Women Foundation in the show description. You can click that link, get all the information you want. Now, Gloria, I want to go back. You mentioned growing up in Yugoslavia. I know you said you were very young when you were there, but from your memory, what was religion like growing up in a country such as that?
Well, we didn't really share our faith much. My mother, my father, and I were fortunate. We were able to pray and go to services in other countries. But we went to Italy a lot. I have a lot of family in Italy. And so we were Catholic at the time, and I was raised Catholic. And so we were able to go to the Vatican. We were able to do services there. We didn't talk about religion, and we didn't celebrate Christmas like we did in this country. So for that year, we did not put up a Christmas tree. It's implied, but it's not something that the government encouraged at the time. And I was very young. I was 6 years old. So yes, I still believed in Santa. I hope everybody is old enough to know. But I did. And so as Christians, we did not do much to celebrate our Catholicism or Christianity at that time. And in America, I always knew that I was able to go to church. We went to services every week. We were able to pray. We were able to have Bibles. But to this day, though, I will tell you, I have a Bible in 9 languages. My mother spoke 9 languages. And so we have Bibles in 9 languages. And so it was something that I always believed in and I was always raised with, but it was not something that we openly did when I lived in Zagreb.
Let's move into talking about your book, Outcast. I know that I've brought this up on the show a couple different times, but I was fired from a coaching job at a local school here in St. Louis, about 30 minutes away from where Ground Zero for the BLM movement really started after the Michael Brown shooting, because I went online and posted on Facebook that the people that were looting businesses, burning businesses, were all criminals. To this day, I still don't honestly understand why I was let go, because let's just be honest and real, I was telling the truth. They were criminals. But let's talk now about what happened to your son, Stevie, the way that he was almost canceled. Luckily, his background, his faith did not allow him to be canceled. But walk us through everything that happened at Belmont University in 2020 and what led to you writing the book, Outcast.
I'm sorry for what happened to you. Yes, 2020 was a crazy year. Our son was student body president, elected 97% of the student body that voted for our son and his vice president, a conservative female. Everything was going along nicely until George Floyd was killed. And our son posted on his personal Instagram page, a post, a picture of himself in front of a White House where we had visited the prior year. I took the picture, my property. So he put that picture up and he thanked our forefathers for our freedoms on the 4th of July. To you and I, that's normal. He was thanking our forefathers. I mean, it is a normal, you know, everybody celebrates the 4th of July the same way. The next day, we awoke to 300 comments. You can still find them. This post is still up. 300 comments, some positive, a lot of them negative. many of them telling my son to go kill himself. So my husband and I did not understand what was going on. As conservatives, conservative Christian people, the 4th of July is something we as Americans should be grateful for. We should be thanking our forefathers. But somehow the left construed that as a racist post, a covertly racist post. And we found that out the next day when there was a change.org petition put out for our son. And somehow, you know, college students think that, you know, a change.org petition is going to make a difference. It's not going to. And 377 students or whomever signed this petition. And another Instagram handle was started, and it was Be Better Belmont and our son's picture. They took, when I said my property earlier, they stole my property, this photo of my son in front of the White House, and they used that on their Instagram page. And they put my son's personal Instagram on there, which, yes, he's public because he's always been, you know, he's worked for many Republican elected officials. So he's always public. And we have nothing to hide. And so they used that photo and they said, sign the petition to get rid of President Stevie Giorno. And he is a racist and he needs to do better for Belmont. So we need him out. So basically, this was around the 6th, 7th of July at this point, and we're still in COVID. I do think that as a conservative Christian university, which we thought that we were sending our son to, it aligned with our values, at least we thought. That is the bill of right. goods that was sold to us. I can assure you, when I made a phone call to the then president of the university, and I left a message with his assistant asking, how will my son be safe on campus? My call was not returned. The assistant did admit that they were aware that there was some drama going on, but my call was never returned by the president of the university. And I mean, Belmont is a small school at the time. I believe there were 6,000 people there, 6,000 kids. So it's a relatively small school. Everybody knows everybody else. And I don't understand where all this anger came from other than, yes, everybody was locked up during COVID. Two, I think that, you know, everyone jumped on this BLM bandwagon. My son refused to endorse Black Lives Matter. He refused to. His fraternity got into it. And his fraternity basically told him if he did not endorse the organization, they would destroy him. They would destroy his career. They would not welcome him into the fraternity anymore. Those young men, there's one young man who, he had my son written up with standards, and he said that he was a racist. There was a Zoom meeting. Now, we are very fortunate, very blessed to live in the great state of Tennessee. One party consent. I have every recording. I have every Zoom meeting. I have every phone call. I have every text. I have every email, everything. You name it. I have it. So that's why I was able to write such a book. But the Standards Committee did not know that the fraternity had endorsed Black Lives Matter. That's a problem. When you are in a group and you don't know what that group stands for, that's a problem. And I found that out when the young man who headed up the standards meeting, where my son was called every name under the sun, actually, his Christianity was called out, and one fraternity brother who is the one who wrote him up, who was one of Stevie's closest friends in the fraternity, he actually said, and I quote, you are hiding behind your Christianity, end quote. No, we wow. were never, he was never hiding behind. This is who we are. This is who we are as people. This is who we are. These are our beliefs, and we will never go against our Christianity. We will never, ever deny who we are. No matter what comes our way, we will not deny who we are. So I was present during this Zoom meeting. I sat across from my son, but no one knew. That's how I was able to record it. My son was devastated that they would question his religion and even bring it into conversation. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about an organization that is encouraging people, especially students, to riot, to destroy cities, to burn cities to the ground, to not even respect teachers, to not even respect college campuses. We're talking about people who are basically killing people and wanting to defund the police. And as a Gold Star family member, we do have a cousin who was killed in the line of duty in Chicago in 1995. We do back the blue. We sincerely do not believe in anything. And now with BLM, and now we see what BLM truly stood for. Nothing. There are some people that have some beautiful homes, but BLM has done nothing to help Black people. And one of my board members, two of them actually, on United Women Foundation are Black conservative women, very accomplished Black conservative women who have been called racist themselves. Where does that come from? What kind of a society are we to do that? I know that 20 years ago, I did not live there at the time, but I've heard 20 years ago, Belmont was a conservative Christian university. Actually, they were with the Southern Baptist Convention, is my understanding, but I've not looked into that because it doesn't matter. It's what they are now. Since they parted, they've gotten more liberal. So this is not something that happened very quickly. People ask me, do you think it's something that happened overnight? I do think that COVID and Antifa and BLM did play a part of it, but I do believe that most universities have been woke for many years, but you and I and 99% of Americans did not see it until it was brought to light with COVID, Antifa, BLM. Until there was a reason for them to get out there and, you know, riot and whatnot, I don't believe we saw it. But I can tell you, my mother went to the University of Chicago and she got her PhD in 1973. And when I got accepted to the school, my parents did not allow me to go there because my mother said it was too liberal back then. So that was 1973. So we've only gotten worse.
At this point in our society, it is very blatantly clear that colleges are just indoctrination cities. So with everything that Stevie went through, everything that your family went through, what advice would you give to students and what advice would you give to parents as they're searching for which college or indoctrination city they want to go to?
You are your child's first teacher. You need to start teaching them from a very young age. You need to start reading the Bible to them when they're young. I became a grandmother 35 days ago. I do have my granddaughter's first Bible already at my home. She's 35 days old, so clearly it's not something I'm reading to her yet, but in a couple of months, it will be. So I do believe that we need to start with reading the Bible, going back to basics, in our home. It is the parents' responsibility from when they have those that child, they bring that baby home, to start raising them in a Christian home. Another thing we need to do is stop watching television while you're eating dinner. Sit at the table every evening. Have a dinner time planned. Make sure your children come home. My adult children will tell you that we still eat dinner together as a family at the table every single day. There is no sitting in front of a TV. There is no sitting at the couch. There is no food in the living room. The kitchen, the dining room is where you eat. So I do believe that a parent's responsibility is first and foremost in raising good, solid Christians. You have to agree with me that even like, you know, younger levels, not just college, you have to start this young because elementary school, high school, it's all a buildup to the master plan of total indoctrination at every university across the country. I know there are a few that, you know, are still not woke, but it's infiltrating. It'll get there. But we have the means to stop it. We have to start as parents. We have to do better. Parents have to be better at having their children learn from home. I mean, the reason Stevie was able to do what he did and not bow to the left is because we raised him to believe in what he believes in always, no matter what the threat is, no matter what is coming at us, we will always be Christians first. We are Christians first. We are conservatives. Everything else comes after that. We will never deny who we are. So I think it's most important that parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, give them a good raising at home. Make sure that they know where they're coming from. Make sure they know where they're going to be. As for students, they need to understand that it doesn't matter how many likes. I mean, social media is the downfall of civilization. It doesn't matter how many likes you get on that post. It doesn't matter how many people tell you, oh, you're doing so well. Let me take you to this meeting. The liberal left does such a great job of branding and messaging. They glamorize being a radical. I love those reports in 2020. In the background is a city being burned, torched, and you have a reporter standing there saying, oh, you know, it's mostly a peaceful protest. That is not a peaceful protest by any means whatsoever. So if a child is raised properly in their home, they will see the difference. So when they do go off to college, even grade school, high school, when they do go off to school, they will understand that this is not how I was raised. This is not who I am. This is not what I am going to believe in. This is wrong, and I will only stay with what my true beliefs are. And everything has to be around Christ. And I do feel that we are no longer turning to the Bible. We are turning to social media. And that scares me. So while I understand that, you know, there are some great things that can be found on social media, there's also that pressure to be popular, to be well-liked, and the left does an amazing job of getting that point across where we do not. So United Women Foundation is now a nationwide organization, so we are trying to do our best to be able to keep young women conservative by showing them you can still be glamorous, you can still get likes, you can still, I mean, we have to, you know, play along with, you know, this just the social media craziness that we're all indoctrinated with. And I hate to use that word, but it's true. We all have social media now. It's the best way of reaching other people. But we need to teach our young women and implore them to stay true to who they are and not give in to the pressures that are there every single day. And Stevie is a great example of that. But had we not have raised him properly in our home, I feel that he would not have been able to sustain the pressures like he did.
Some amazing advice there for both parents and students. The book is called Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative. Gloria Giorno, thanks for joining me for this episode of Our Faith, Our Country.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media at Faith Country Pod or by searching for Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Until next time, later times, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Our Faith, Our Country. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.